Blog Talk Radio.
Rédempteur, Noël,
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. We are coming up on the end of the world. I mean, the end of the year. We're all in trouble. We're all going to be on Obama's health care systems. And then, of course, you know, then comes the concentration camps. Yeah, it's going to be called rehab. First, they rehab your mind. Yeah, and they make you forget things like religion, that drugs is bad. Yeah. Oh, drugs are good. I have a lot of friends that do drugs, and it doesn't affect them at all. Yeah. Yeah, bartender. It's not a bar. Yeah. Oh, God, are we in trouble, man. We're so screwed up. You know something? Even psychiatrists are committing suicide. It's unbelievable. What more can we do to inflame God Almighty? Huh? What can we do? Can we do another Harold and Kumar movie? Huh? And spit in the face of Jesus Christ? Can we do that? Yeah. And who are the writers? Oh, well, they're atheists. Oh, don't they have an award at the Crappies, you know, with the Atheist of the Year? Atheist, communist, same thing. I was surprised to learn that the girl from Czechoslovakia who lived under communism had more Jesus Christ in her spirit than than any of those. Kennedy Catholics. I'm a Kennedy Catholic. Yeah, well, join your uncle. Yeah, unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. What are we going to do? Are we going to take care of the troops? Aren't you tired of hearing people say, we support the troops. We support the troops. Thank you for your service. How about doubling the goddamn paycheck? Oh, I'm losing my Christmas spirit. The atheists are driving me nuts. Just for this, everybody in my family gets ducks for Christmas. They're going to get ducks. And to show that I'm not a racist, I'm going to give a lot of Daffy Duck. Yeah, unbelievable, man. What a nation. The nation of squabblers. The United Squabblers of America. I never seen such petty fours in the country than there are in the bakery. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They're advertising. They got an ad for a guy, Blue Chanel. He's going to wear perfume. Blue Chanel. My wife wants to know, how come these guys are shaving their bodies? Well, maybe they belong to the Mohammed Atta Association. Yeah. What are we doing? Who's getting their fingernails done? You got to be kidding me. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. But I do know that as of today, Jingle Bells is banned. And Winter Wonderland is out of the picture. I don't want any atheistic songs talking about bells, deer. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Come on. Is this Christmas? The birthday of the king? The birthday of the king, that's who it is. It's his birthday. Don't you know how to sing happy birthday?
Hallelujah, how it rang, and the sky was bright with a holy light, 'twas the birthday of a king. A humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Hallelujah.
That I heard that as a young choir boy, sung by a tremendous baritone, and it has stayed with me my whole life. Amen, baby. Amen. I was privileged to be around some good Christmas singers in my little church, and an Italian tenor and baritone, and they made Christmas. They made a Midnight Mass. Midnight Mass is one of the most beautiful things you can go to. And if you've never experienced one, sneak in. Sneak in. You know, it's two collections. So, you know, you put your autograph in there. It's good. It's when people mellow out a little bit, you know. They get away from the humdrum and the specials that are going to be cheaper after Christmas. I got a feeling that before Christmas sales is not going to be good. I got a feeling that everybody is buying gift certificates, and they're going to descend with their gift certificates after Christmas when the discounts go to 70, 80, 90, and 100% off. Unbelievable. What a country. Do we know how to shop? I just hope we don't have to shop for a country. Okay, you want me to change the mood a little bit? You want to go rock and roll? You want to go bum titty bum titty bum bum bum?
Bum 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 dang 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 ding dong ding blue moon moon blue moon. Dang it, dang, dang, ding it on.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart.
Dang it, dang, dang, ding it on.
Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really didn't care for. And then they suddenly appeared before me, the only one my arms would ever. Somebody whisper, please adore me.
ba 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 ba
ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba. And I was watching Bible stories today on TV, and one of the stories, around 1200 B.C., a guy named Joshua, he fought the Battle of Jericho. And I never knew this, but when the walls came tumbling down, he slaughtered every man, woman, and child that lived in the city, except for one prostitute who gave them the keys to the city. I don't know if she got survived, but he slaughtered every man, woman, and child. And under God's orders, I can't believe that. Can you? Do you think that the God that we worship would say slaughter every man, woman, and child, old men, and babies? I know that's part of Obamacare. But I didn't know that God authorized it. I take issue with that incident. Well, the good news is I'm soon to be president of the United States. And once I'm in charge, I'm going to take care of those veterans who are getting screwed out of 1% blood money. And the easiest way to do it is, I'm not good at math, but I'll just double everybody's pay. Whatever you're making now, figure you're going to be, by Christmas, it'll be twice as much. And I'm going to make some announcements when I come back about some changes. In the meantime, I'll give you Elvis. Did I ever tell you I met Elvis in Germany? I was in the 4th Armored Division. He was in the 3rd Armored Division. And we happened to be on the same base that he was, and he was outside of PX signing autographs. And I didn't even know who he was at the time. And a southern boy named Pusser said, "Go over there and get his autograph. He's going to be famous one day." So I went over and I got his autograph for my sister. And I mailed it to her and she sold it. And then she cut locks of her hair and said it was Elvis's, and she was selling that. Yeah, we go back to a long line of gypsies, man. Not that there's anything wrong with gypsies. There's gypsy love. I'll give you a little Elvis, Blue Christmas. That's a very popular tune. It's one of the most popular tunes. Oh, by the way, speaking of popular tunes, in a rating of people who are loved the most in the United States, you know who places first? With 84% approval, of job approval, who do you think it is? Nurses. Yet there isn't a statue of a nurse in the whole country. And I bet you if you put one up, the ACLU would tell you to take it down. But nurses, 84% of the country trusts and loves nurses. Thank you, nurses. That's our modern-day saints, everybody. God bless them.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when the blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start
Christmas of what? But I have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
I think when Obama planned Obamacare that he looked the other way as John Kerry did some insider trading on pharmaceutical companies and made millions? Huh? You think that John knew which companies were going to be dropped, which pill companies were not going to get any help and sold them short? You don't think that happened? Wouldn't you like to see all of the trades of the House and the Senate, all of their stock sales and purchases for 1 year? You think you would be dismayed? Would you get wise to the charade? Yeah, have you been betrayed? I call it insider trading. You see, it's against the law for people in stock firms to do this. Like if they get a tip that they get an inside information that a company is acquiring another company, they can't capitalize on it. It's against the law. They go to jail. But if you're in the House and the Senate, you can do it legally because they passed a law saying that they were exempt, just like they're from health care. They're exempt from criminal prosecution. Yeah. So everybody got up in arms about it when Fox announced that this is what they were doing. This was one of their many shenanigans. Campaign contributions is the best. But Fox announced that these guys were insider tradering. And so you know what they did? They rescinded the law. They abolished the law. Yeah, we're taking too much heat. We'll abolish the law. You know how long it stayed abolished? 30 days. And then they reinstated it when nobody was looking. You don't keep an eye on these guys. You know, it's like a guy you don't trust that's working for you and he's always hanging around the cash register. Well, that's what you got in Washington. One big cash register and everybody, as they used to say, is playing the piano. That's robbing the till. So I think that being that I'm the new president, I should start to break some bad news to everybody. Good news for the people, bad news for the government. Stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Fellow Americans, it's with a heavy heart that I tell you tonight, the country is broke. All this funny money we've been printing, the printers are out of action. And we now have to pay off $17 trillion. We're in the hole. And I don't know what we're going to do. There's nobody we can declare war on anymore. Yeah, okay, so you know what we're going to do? I got a solution. I've come to work this morning. It's my first day on the job, and I have two tools. I have a document shredder, and I have a drill. And so the drill, we're going to use the drill oil, drill baby drill, and we're going to pump that crap out of the ground until all the bills are paid. And then we'll start drilling for gold. Yep, we're going to pay our bills on time. If the Kuwaitis with the 2 million population can have future generations funds, we can too. We're bigger, we're richer, we're smarter. So, having said that, I also want to announce that the U.S. military, every enlisted man tomorrow will get double his normal pay. And we're going to call that Operation Good Guys Deserve the Best. Yes. Okay, and I have bad news for all the ambassadors throughout the world sitting in embassies representing the American government who bought their office by donating to a Republican war chest and Democrat war chest. Well, your war chest is empty, and as of tomorrow, every ambassador throughout the world representing the United States is being replaced by a vet in a wheelchair. The vets get first priority on ambassadorships. We want the rest of the world to know the price we pay for freedom, for their freedom, because when we go, they go. Yes. Any other good news that I can give you? Yes. The House and the Senate are now part-time jobs with no benefits, and it's like a vocation, you know, like a nun or a priest or a minister or a rabbi. I'm not going to say imam because imams get 20% of all booty taken in jihad. Yes. Okay. So it's a vocation. And if you're a senator or a Viet Congress mouse, you have to be part-time. And not only that, you can't work more than 30 hours a week. And the only insurance plan you can be on is your parents. Obama, we caught Obama pulling a fast one. You know what he did? We have records that prove that in a closed door meeting, he knew that if they put all the young kids, you know, and now the definition of a kid who reaches the age of reason in the United States is 29 years old. He put all the kids, if he had put all the kids on their own insurance plan, he would have had a war on his hands. And they would have beat up his Acorns and his Occupy Wall Street people and his thug union boys. So rather than have a conflict with the kids, he put anybody up to the age of 26, he stuck them with their parents. Now, under the new laws of your new president, a child cannot live at home after 18. Yes, that's good news, isn't it, for the parents? I bet you the parents are happy. Yep, he's got to go out on his own. He's got to cut his own. He's got to cut his own cloth. And also, what else was I going to tell you? All the insurance companies that were in cahoots with the government, as the government added a fifth layer of bloodsuckers to the taxpayers' medical payments, all those insurance companies are now out of the picture, and the they can no longer sell insurance. The government is definitely out of the picture. We have enough leeches as it is, and doctors can work out a deal with the patients. Hospitals can work out a deal with the patients, and we can negotiate. And everything will be hunky-dory. It can't be any worse than this. And Oregon spent $300 million to set up, enablers. To get you signed up, you know how many they signed up for $300 million in cost to set up 44 people, and they're all drug addicts. Yeah, So the rest of us have to cover them. We have to work harder. Any other good news I can give you tonight? I think that's a good first step. Oh, yes, yes. I nearly forgot. You know that Colorado has legalized the marijuana, and you know that there's a lot of murders taking place in Colorado. We believe that it has to do with weed. So I've passed an executive order. Any first-time offender caught smoking marijuana will get the death penalty. Now, I know that's harsh, and I know it's going to upset a lot of people, and we're all going to lose a lot of relatives. But I guarantee you in 2 weeks we're drug-free. Yeah, we'll be population-light, but we'll be drug-free. So having said that, let me take you back to a tribute to a ragged old flag. Would you like to hear that? I think that's Johnny Cash.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat," and I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Yes. How true. How very true. You know, we got to raise up more flags, and we got to raise up more crosses. We got to raise crosses with every flag, because there are people that want to take both down. They'll go after the cross first, but when they're finished taking down the crosses, they'll take down the flag next, and then they'll take you down. Already they're trying to figure out how many guns you got. Yep, these are the same people that are going to bring us all down, and they're going to serve us up to a master. And once again, we'll all be slaves. And you don't think it can't happen. Well, what are you doing to stop it? Do you stand up when you see injustice? Do you get involved? It's hard to get involved today because the bad guys have the muzzle on you. That's why they call for a moment of silence instead of a moment of prayer. Already the muzzle has been applied. But today is baby Jesus' birthday, so I'm not preaching revolution. Not this week. Oh, before I start this 7-minute Christmas carol, in Dubai, an American was arrested and charged with being a jerk. He made a video with some of the locals, and it was a put down of the people of the UAE, showing that they're a bunch of sissies. And the government didn't like it, so they slapped his ass in jail. And the big headline that the communist media shows, American citizen arrested in Dubai. And that's to get your patriotism up. We can't let that happen. And then you find out that the American citizen actually was born in Bangladesh, and then he came here and became an American citizen. I was watching the Israelis going into Lebanon, I don't know how many years ago, and the media announced, Israel invades Lebanon, 10,000 Americans trapped. And then they showed a picture of the Americans, and they were all wearing burqas. Yeah, so you got to be careful when they give you headlines. If little Johnny jump up wants to stand in line at a Turkish airport to come back to the States with 20 pounds of hashish in his backpack, and they arrest him and he demands that the 7th Fleet come and rescue him, we say, bye-bye, Johnny. Bye-bye. Let me give you the... Yeah, Johnny the draft dodger and flag burner. Now he wants the 6th Fleet to come and get him off the hook. Bye-bye, Johnny.
Oh.
Did you ever hear the story of the gift of the Magi by O. Henry? It's a short story. It was written by O. Henry. That's a pen name for William Sidney Porter. And it's about a young married couple and how they deal with the challenge of buying secret Christmas gifts for each other with very little money. As a sentimental story with a moral lesson, I'm taking this off of Wikipedia, about gift-giving, it has been a popular one for adaptation, especially for presentation at Christmas time. The plot and its twist ending are well known, and the ending is generally considered an example of cosmic irony. And it was written at Pete's Tavern on Irving Place in New York City. The story was initially published in New York Sunday World under the title Gifts of the Magi on December the 10th, 1905. It was first published in book form in the O. Henry anthology, The 4 Million, in April 1906. The husband's name is James Dillingham. Young Jim and his wife Della are a couple living in a modest flat. They each have only one possession in which they take pride. Della's beautiful long flowing hair almost to her knees, and Jim's shiny gold watch, which had belonged to his father and grandfather. On Christmas Eve, with only $1.87 in hand, and desperate to find a gift for Jim, Della sells her hair for $20 and eventually finds a platinum fob chain for Jim's watch for $21. She found the perfect gift at last and turns home and begins to prepare dinner with 87 cents left. When Jim comes home, he looks at Della with a strange expression. Della then admits to Jim that she sold her hair to buy him his present. Jim gives Della her present, an assortment of expensive hair accessories referred to as the combs. Useless now that her hair is short. Della then shows Jim the chain she bought for him, to which Jim says, he sold his watch to get the money to buy her the combs. Although Jim and Della are now left with gifts that neither one can use, they realize how far they are willing to go to show their love for each other and how priceless their love really is. The story ends with the narrator comparing the pair's mutually sacrificial gifts of love with those of the biblical Magi. The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men who brought gifts to the newborn king of the Jews in the manger, which has been outlawed at Gitmo. They invented the art of giving Christmas presents. Being wise, their gifts were no doubt wise ones, possibly bearing the privilege of exchange in case of duplication. And here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children in a flat who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are wisest everywhere they are wisest. They are the Magi. Pretty good, huh? I saw that movie many years ago. Beautiful. It sums up a love. Isn't that something? Isn't that great? What? It's the simple things in life. Give me the simple life. Did you ever hear that song? So, having said that, let me find you a nice tune for a white Christmas. Do you believe in a white Christmas? Well, let's see if... How about Duck Love? I wonder, what am I going to do here? Was it the Drifters that sang White Christmas? I thought I had it for you. Give me the simple life. We were talking about the simple life, right? Here you go. 3 minutes and 20 seconds, and that'll give me time to find White Christmas. White Christmas by the Drifters.
Christmas. over the treetop to listen. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write.
May those days, may your days, may your days be merry and bright.
And may all your Christmas is be white.
Jingle, jingle, jingle all the way. Ooh.
Okay. So, having said that, as you're all snuggled in your beds with visions of sugar plums dancing on your head, you think about that GI out there in Outpost 22 in the Hindu Kush, who's sitting and waiting and hoping and praying that he survives this tour of duty. And the reason he's there is to keep you safe so you don't get murdered in your bed. And if you don't think that can happen, come into New York and I'll take you to a place that used to have two big buildings. Every day the enemy gets closer, and every day the bombs get bigger. And our two greatest weaknesses are intelligence and the ability to negotiate. Those are our two greatest failures, and they are with us forever. So, we got to be on our toes. So I'll play a little Christmas music, and we'll say sayonara.
Thank you.